But I just want to ask Mason to come up and share, and then I'm going to share a little, and then we're going to do some ministry after that. But I want him to share just why Bethel is such a special place. If you look at the back there, there's a hole in the wall, right there at the back. Can somebody read what it says? Marius. Okay, 2004. That was the first time that a Bethel team came to South Africa. And then one night, some of the guys started jumping against the back wall, and then one of the Bethel guys, Jordan was his name, he started jumping against the drywall. And it went through the drywall. So we just thought we're going to make it a memorial stone, okay? So you guys are really part of us. There's a hole in the wall because of you guys. So, and I know so many of you, if you've received a prophetic word from them and it's still something that you like bringing before the Lord that you're working on, who of you, just raise your hands. Okay, that's awesome, man. Great. So we've received so much from you, so it's such an honor to have you guys here. Mason, Luke calls him the only free Mason. So other ones on it. Great.
Thanks, Dan. Oh, good morning. How you guys doing? Good. It is so good to be back here with you guys. My mentor, actually, for 2 years was Jordan Fry, and he put the wall in there. I remember when that happened, and he came back, and he had really mixed feelings about it. Part of me was like, yeah, it was awesome. He's like, but man, I put a hole in the wall of the church we just been to. Oh, man, but no, this is a really special place, even for us, really, for the whole team that comes out here each year. Like, we're always looking forward to coming out here with you guys. It's always a blast and a real pleasure. Like, one thing I really love about your guys' church here is I love your worship and, like, the genuine, like, desire for family and for worship here. And it's so true and so real here. So, so Pastor wanted me to share briefly about Bethel, just kind of, like, what makes it so special. And it's so funny, like, I love it when people ask me that because, to a certain degree, it's not. It's just another church, you know. But to another degree, so God is moving there and something is happening. But something like we always like keep in mind and remember is like the exact same Holy Spirit that lives inside of me is living inside of you. And, like, Bethel is not bigger than George, you know. It's not something that's like so much bigger and like so much further out there that you guys like are so far away from. I think you guys could even like tap into something even greater. Bethel started as just a really small church, and it really was just a lot of individual people being hungry after God that created a move of a corporate hunger. It's just like how, like, one thing God has just like set up for us. He just wants us really, it's just spending time with him every single day, you know? It's just spending time in his word, spending time just talking to him. It's all relationship, and that's all he wants, and that's really just what Bethel was birthed out of. You know, and I think it's just the same. I remember any time, like, I would go back to my home church in Iowa. I actually don't live in California. That's where the school is at that I've been attending for the last 4 years. But my pastor and my family and my friends would ask me, like, what's going on out there? What's going on out there? And I'd be like, man, you know what? It's the same thing that's going on here. It's Jesus encountering us. It's us just simply taking the time just to spend time with him. The supernatural and the things that like are really stirred up out of Bethel, it's all just stirred up out of time in the secret place with him. So if there's one thing out of that, there's a hunger that is stirred up because the more time you spend with someone, the more you want to be with them. And the more you spend with them, like the more you become like them. The more we spend time with God and Jesus, like the more we're just going to look like them. So yeah, so it's wonderful, it's awesome, and honestly, it sometimes looks a lot like this. So yeah, I'll turn back over to you, Pastor. It'd be great.
Yeah, you guys expectant, eh? You guys expectant. We expect a miracle. We expect a miracle today. We need to practice it, though. Okay, Renel, maybe get the lyrics, and then we'll do the worship band together. Okay, so I'm gonna share very briefly, and I feel like just through the last 2 weeks, God has been dealing with Cornell and I, and also with us as a church family around a specific topic, and for me, it fits in so perfectly with our vision. It's God's calling us to be co-workers, in other words. And you're going to hear this so often. Working with God, we co-working with God, but also co-working with people. Turning lives from darkness to the power of God to be forgiven and adopted as heirs. And I've seen in the last little while that as we are pursuing this thing of co-working with God, literally going into the kingdom of darkness with the power of Jesus Christ and turning that around, that the darkness actually, it's not saying, hey, yo, take this territory for you as the church. The darkness is actually coming against us. And who of you just in the last little while have felt, man, it's like the spiritual attack is just so much stronger. Who of you felt that? Do you know that if you go to the gym and you go onto the bench press machine and you don't feel any resistance, you're not gymming, you're not building any muscles. And I sense that's like the picture that God is giving us at this moment. And we're going to the gym and we're preparing for something big. There's a breakthrough coming. I love that you guys are here. Last year, one of our friends and the prophetic voices in our church, Paul Bevan, he actually visited Bethel, the School of the Prophets, and he received a prophetic word there. And he said, somebody came up to him and said, hey, do you know that you're going to see the next big revival coming from South Africa? And that following week, that's great. Yeah, you get a lot of hands. That following week, he arrived here with us, and he said, Amo, I'm from Middelburg, and I'm an animal scientist, but I just feel that this is for you. You guys need to steer at this. You guys need to be hungry for revival. And I think some of you know this, but my great-great-great-grandfather was Andrew Murray Sr., the guy who called out and prayed for revival for so long. Every Friday night, he was just on his knees, and crying out for revival. And that's where Andrew Murray first met revival, is when he heard his dad through the door of his study crying out for revival. And I just sense it's a time, this is the time, like Angus to steal Angus Buchan's line. This is the time. We need it. South Africa needs it. We all hear about what's happening with Jacob Zuma and what he is doing, and everybody's against Jacob Zuma, but I feel we need to be for something. And I feel that's revival in every sphere in South Africa, every aspect of life. So maybe, yes, maybe you think George is just a small little holiday town somewhere on the south coast, and it's beautiful, and people love coming here. They don't like the global country anymore, so they move down to here. And some of you are like that. But maybe there's something more, and maybe we need to tap into that, and we need to start praying, and prayer is obviously the bottom line. So, just to share very personally, 4 weeks ago, I told you guys that we were pregnant. And then 2 weeks ago, we had a miscarriage. So, like, I look at Cornell and she gets pregnant. That's our easy pregnancy comes for us. So we didn't even expect. Like, it's just been so smooth sailing in terms of like the previous three pregnancies. And then we had a miscarriage, and we were just wrestling with God, and it's like, God, I didn't expect this, because it feels like there's a river of God's favor on our lives. We just jump in there and on the lilo. We just enjoy the whole ride. And then I felt God saying to me, don't give any credit to the devil. Because what I'm turning, you're not expectant anymore, but you're expectant for a greater miracle to happen. And that's what I sense in my spirit, that I'm expectant for a greater miracle to happen, greater than a child being birth. And that's amazing experience. Those of you who've been there and hear that first cry of a little baby. But I'm expecting for more. I'm expecting for something to be birthed in the spirit that's so much greater than what we could ever imagine. So that's my story. And that's why it's so it's almost so personal for me to share about the resistance in the spirit. And some of you are going through very similar stuff. So I want to tell you, don't give any credit to the devil. Don't give any credit to the devil. And one of the verses really stood out for me was Luke 22, 31 and 32. It's up there. It says, Jesus speaking to Peter, it says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." I feel like the devil wanted to sift us. The devil's wanting to sift us. But we will not allow him to steal our faith. And we will actually strengthen our brothers with this. So I asked Cornell this morning, just last night, I felt God telling me to share this very openly and very vulnerable with you. Because I want to strengthen you. Because we're not gonna give the devil any credit. So Zechariah, I want you to turn to that. It's a piece that we're gonna spend some 10 minutes on. Zechariah 3. And that's a great thing about being in community. This verse came up and through our intercession group, through the people praying, and also through Edwin, and I just felt, man, it's such a good word, such an encouraging word for me, for myself, but also for so many of you. It's in the Old Testament, as you know. Great. So Zechariah 3, verse 1. It says, "Then he showed me Joshua." So Joshua, it's the Hebrew, it's actually sometimes Joshua is translated into Yeshua, which is Jesus in Hebrew. Not this time. So when you think of Joshua, think of Jesus. The high priest standing before the angel, all of us are called to be high priest. Peter says that we are a royal priesthood before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from fire?" Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord was standing by. Yeah, it's such a powerful picture. Those of you can see it. Some of you would be able to see it visually. So now this Joshua, the high priest, see yourself standing there, and you're standing before the angel of the Lord. It means the presence of God, the messenger of God. Angel in Hebrew can also be translated to the messenger. So you're standing there in front of God, and then you hear this voice from the side. And that voice from the side is the accuser, Satan. That's his second name. He accuses you. And what does this picture tells us, that Joshua, the high priest, he actually takes those accusations that's coming from the outside, and he's putting them on. And the Bible says it's filthy garments. And some of you have gone through very difficult times, even worse than what we've went through. And you've taken on that accusations, and that became your clothing. And then and God's calling a people, God's calling you to take off those old clothes, because in Jesus we get clothed with righteousness. Righteousness means that you are in a right standing with God. That means that you have free access to His grace. It means that you are clean, that you are holy, that you are perfected in Jesus. But some of us are still living in this place where the devil is just accusing us. "Hey, Amo, you had left the open door. That's why you have a miscarriage. Hey, Amo, somewhere down the line, because of you watching pornography 10 years ago, you opened the door." It's nonsense. I'm not going to give the devil that credit. I'm going to clothe myself with what the the Lord says about me, that I'm in a right standing with God. And some of us can't receive the new garment because we can't recognize that the old garment is actually from the devil. So some of us are walking around here and we're wearing this condemnation, we're wearing this judgment, we're wearing this shame, and we think it's who we are, but it's not who you are. It is not who you are. So when Jesus died on the cross, he allowed us into the presence of God. And that presence, it clothes us. It clothes us with enough grace to conquer. It clothes us with enough grace to understand that we are sons and adopted into a new family. You get a new bloodline. The old is gone. So here's a quote from my buurvrou. But it's in Afrikaans though. You can translate David. Okay. Ons is so baie keer besig om op die klein tree speelkie te fokus, dat ons vergeet dat die voorruit soveel groter is. Want wat gebeur, as jy die hele tijd in die tree speelkie, it's sometimes like, I get so frustrated when I look at how people get, or how they teach people to drive. You have to watch all the little mirrors all the whole time, but you never focus on what's ahead of you. That's not how, what if you still drive like that? We don't know. It's impractical. Sorry if you're working for the traffic department. It's just impractical. And I think in our lives, we do the same. We do exactly the same. All the bases are covered, all the doors, but we forget about what God is placed right in front of us. Psalm 30 verse 11 and 12, it says this: You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. It's God is taking us out of that place of mourning because we are so filthy because of all these accusations, and he's clothing us with his dance. And I love that we were actually singing about it. God is clothing us with this garment of praise to overcome what the devil has done, to be like, and that's where I want to lead an example. I want to say that's the worst thing that the devil could have done to our family, is to try and attack us at the place of an unborn baby. It's the worst thing that the devil could do, because he doesn't know what we're going to do. We're just going to turn around and we're going to praise Jesus even in the midst of our mourning. We're not going to give the devil any credit. We're going to expect a greater miracle to happen. We're going to expect a birthing of revival throughout this town, throughout the Silent Cape, throughout this nation. They will turn this nation on its head. We will start worshiping God again. So, I want to play you a voice note, and then afterwards, we're going to put all the chairs to the side, okay? And then we're going to have different clothing stations. So, like, kleedkamers, where you go and dress yourself when you buy new clothes. Okay, so you're not allowed to undress yourself in church. And I'm not talking about physical clothes. I'm talking, and then we're going to undress ourselves from all these accusations, all these dirty clothes, and you're going to walk through these stations, and some of our people are going to team up with a bit, and we're going to prophesy over you these new clothes. Is that fine with you? Because all of us need new clothes. From time to time, I don't know if the husbands could maybe relate with me, my wife would come to me and say, I'm going to need new clothes. And that really rarely happens because my wife's not very materialistic. But I think that's a spiritual thing that's actually is in our spirits to want to have new clothes, because that's what God's saying. So you're going to walk through, and we're going to prophesy over you, and we're going to trust God that He removes the dirty and the filthy clothing, and He clothes you with His grace. You guys keen for that? Okay, but listen to this testimony. This is for me, this is one of the biggest breakthroughs that we received in our congregation. Just get this voice note. Okay, so this is Tracy Season, our worship band. She couldn't be here today because she's on holiday. She was literally struggling with fiber, that thing, okay? Sometimes she would come to church and she would be in so much pain that it would be difficult for her to play the keyboard. And I've prayed for her countless of times, and just nothing happens. But then this happens.
I'm sorry, I've just been running around. It's the end of term day and we've got friends coming over this evening. But yeah, it was like amazing. I mean, obviously the service on Sunday evening was good and worship was good, and it generally ended on a high. But the as per usual, like, my hands were stiff and sore and seizing up during the worship. And then afterwards, one of the congregants who I'd never met before, said his name is Marius. I think I'd seen him once or twice, but I've never met him, said that he had got a word for me last week, the weekend I was in Joburg, and it was a word, and he couldn't pronounce the word, and he had seen my face with the word. So he excitedly came up to me and tell me this, and I said, well, can you spell the word? And then he started spelling fibromyalgia. And I was like, oh, fibromyalgia, yeah, I know that, that's my condition. And he goes, well, that makes so much more sense, because God said that you're healed. And then he prayed for me, and the pain didn't leave me, but I just felt this weight go off me, and there was just so much love, like, so much love, and I was just brought to tears, you know, and I just knew I was healed. And when I went home, I called my brother, and he was too sleepy to understand what was going on. But then I WhatsApped a friend of mine called Joanine, who goes to Liberty Church, and she had had fibromyalgia for 3 years and was healed last year. So I said, Joanine, guess what? And she goes, oh, finally, you contacted me. It's about your healing, right? And I was like, what? And she says, no, that morning at church, I'd been heavily on her heart, and God had said that I would be healed and that I'd be contacting her late that evening. And she was starting to think that I would not contact her. So it was just like such an amazing confirmation.
How good is that? Okay, so I sense the angel is saying the same that he was saying to the people standing in front of Joshua. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. So Marius, he's sitting there at the back with a blue shirt. He received the word, and he stood in the gap, and he gave the word. He removed the filthy garments. With one word, he removed that filthy garments, and that lady got healed. It is a massive testimony, because even, like, I was like, man, I have more faith for somebody to be raised from the dead than for her, because I've prayed for her for so many times. I almost got frustrated with her having this condition and worshiping the Lord, because I just couldn't understand it, because I knew it's not God's will for a life to struggle with this kind of condition. So I want you to expect a miracle as you walk through. Expect, bring that condition maybe to the people praying for you. Say, hey, I'm with that. Or, hey, ask, tell the people, hey, I trust that you, like Marius, you're going to give me the word, and then I'm going to be healed, or whatever. But come with faith. Come with expectancy. And after a miscarriage, you're not expectant. That's what the devil tells you. But now we just go completely into the opposite godly direction. We're saying we are expectant. We are expectant something great to happen individually in our lives and also corporately. So let's stand. If we can get move all the chairs to the outside quickly. So if you have children, even if you want to call in your children, you're welcome to do that. Okay, so can I get all the shofar facilitators? Can you come and line up here? The Bethelites and the Free State light. Can you match yourself with somebody? Okay, I think there are more shofar people than... So two, if you can make teams of two. Okay, everybody, Salumi, Yelitwea... Okay, great. So, just facilitators, just raise your hands quickly. Okay, great. So, I want, bring your kids. You need to run for this, okay? So, just say, God, I want whatever you want for me. I want that. I want these dirty clothes to be removed and these precious garments to be put on me. So let's pray maybe a prayer first, and then we're going to go and we're going to pray for each and every one of you. Okay, are you keen with this? It's a little different, but it's great. Okay, just pray this prayer with me. You can just repeat it off me. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross so that you can cancel all the distance between me and a loving Father. Lord, I ask now that you remove all my dirty clothing so that I will be free to receive what you have for me. Lord, I humble myself before you so that you can draw closer and tell me how you feel about me. And also propel me into the future with new clothes. Amen. Okay, just a practical point. So you're not allowed to take off your clothes, just so you know. Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay, so you can make lines at all these people at different stations. And then we're just going to pray and bless you. Okay, do you understand that? Okay, Ben, vice for ones who what Duna means. Okay, great. So get yourself a station.